Hello, and welcome to PharmaLex Talks podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Annabel Fosmark about the importance of early phase modeling to improve the chances of successful reimbursement and hoped for pricing levels. As we know, bringing a product to market requires overcoming several separate hurdles. The first is to gain regulatory approval. The next is to achieve reimbursement for the product. Typically, though, evidence to support reimbursement discussions tend to be relegated as companies focus on building data to support the regulatory process. This can be hugely costly, with companies sometimes struggling to achieve the market access they had anticipated. Annabel is Senior Manager, Health Economics and Outcomes Research at PharmaLex, and has vast experience in managing projects concerning all the Nordic markets, including reimbursement dossiers, supporting pay and negotiation processes, health economic modeling, evaluation of clinical and health economic data, and strategic advice on market access. And she has a particular focus on the orphan drug and ATMP areas. Welcome, Annabel, and thank you for sharing your insights on early phase modeling.
Thank you for that very nice introduction, Kim.
Can we begin by giving some context to the journey from regulatory approval to market access and reimbursement?
Yes. Well, as we all know, and as you mentioned in the introduction, Kim, the pathway to regulatory approval is long, and getting through all the hurdles tends to be the focus of most companies. However, the aim of developing any medical product is for patients to benefit from the new innovation. And for that to happen, a new and possibly costly therapy needs to be evaluated in a so-called health technology assessment, or HTA for short. The HTA, in turn, generally involves health economic modeling. While the regulatory approval process is mandatory, HTA and health economic modeling is not, but it is generally required for patients to ultimately have access to new therapies. Another big difference is that while regulatory approval for high-profile therapies is a central process, with EMA in Europe and FDA in the US, most countries have their own processes for pricing and reimbursement.
So where does early phase modeling come into this, and how is it different from traditional health economic modeling?
Well, the purpose of traditional health economic modeling is to support the local reimbursement and pricing processes. Early phase modeling is more to inform, for example, feasibility of future adoption, to inform the product development program, support investor communication, and sometimes even to inform decisions on whether to pursue a product development at all or not. There's also the timing. So while traditional health economic modeling is done at the same time or after regulatory approval, early phase modeling can actually be performed as early as just having an idea of a product. And it should preferably be done as early as possible. And even before initiating clinical trials, which will give you time to act on the results from it. The output is also different. With traditional health economic modeling, the output generally states cost-effectiveness of a product at local level. The output from early phase modeling can also be cost-effectiveness, but it can also show which variables or parameters will have a large impact on cost-effectiveness. For example, where you will need to further substantiate your clinical data.
With that in mind, can early phase modeling actually inform clinical trial design?
Oh, yes, it can. And a very important part of what we do in early phase modeling is the sensitivity analysis, where we explore different variables and parameters and see how large the impact is on the result. Sometimes it's evident that certain parameters will have a crucial impact on cost effectiveness. And then it's worthwhile to add those parameters, either as an endpoint in the clinical trial or to conduct additional studies in parallel with a clinical trial program. A clinical trial program will have certain endpoints that seek to show proof of concept or efficacy, such as tracing the level of a certain biomolecule or a response to treatment or some other physical parameter. But those outputs are not always translatable to factors important in health economic modeling, such as quality of life and healthcare resource use. Setting up an early phase model can help to show what outcomes will be needed to inform health economic modeling, either directly or to bridge the clinical data.
Why is this an important strategy for companies when developing innovative products?
Well, there's most often both a high price tag and high degree of uncertainty associated with innovative therapies, especially ATMPs. But at the same time, these products often result in long-term benefit, sometimes lifetime benefit for patients. So it's important to show value for money for healthcare systems in order for patients to benefit from those therapies. This has really become evident in recent years, with several companies not gaining market access or even withdrawing their marketing authorizations from Europe after failing commercially in key EU markets. Those scenarios are above all catastrophic for patients and could potentially have been averted with early phase modeling information regarding health economic potential and data gaps. Even a delay in market access can be catastrophic from the patient perspective. I've certainly seen examples of innovative drugs developed for rare diseases that can halt degeneration but not reverse it. So if there are delays in reimbursement, patients will inevitably face loss of function that can never be reversed, even if they can eventually access treatment.
That's obviously life-changing. Can you describe some important steps or parameters with early phase modeling?
The first step is to get an understanding of the condition, the nature of the therapy, and the impact of the therapy on the condition. This is needed to identify relevant input and outcomes of early phase modeling. You also need to understand the current management of the condition. Is there a pharmacological treatment in place already? And if not, how is the condition treated today? Then you go into the details of the current management, especially how disease symptoms are controlled, but also including, for example, requirements of monitoring, testing, healthcare resource use, and the potential impact on quality of life. So quality of life is reported by specific measures in the field of health economics. And if there is no quality of life information for the disease available, which can be the case for some ultra-rare diseases, you can consider using a proxy condition that shares similar features or symptoms. And then, even if you don't know the exact impact of the innovation, by identifying and defining all relevant parameters, you can start designing the early phase model to explore the outcome with different magnitudes of impact. This will be key to assessing if the product can be feasibly adopted and at what pricing level or range, depending on the magnitude of benefit as demonstrated by clinical trials.
So how would you go about creating an early phase model?
Well, when an early phase model is set up, we can play around with all parameters, like, for example, magnitude of benefit and pricing levels, to see how they interconnect. We can also explore feasible positioning, for example, treatment line for costly oncology treatment. In that case, we can model different subsets of patients to inform relevant positioning, depending on expected clinical benefit and target price.
Well, that clearly does make sense. Can you share some scenarios for early phase modeling?
Well, one recent example is a safety study for an ATMP, where early phase modeling showed that the product under development would be feasible only for a subset of patients with a certain degree of severity, but that for this group of patients, the therapy had a high likelihood of being cost effective. That information now supports the route to commercialization outside the clinical trial setting, by focusing on relevant positioning. It also provides a robust ground for communicating feasibility of adoption, expected patient numbers and revenue to potential investors. We have also produced the same type of information for first-in-class innovative oncology product, where it has been presented and used by the developing small startup company in the process of finding an investor to acquire the rights and subsequently develop the clinical trial program for the drug. In that case, the potential investors were specifically interested in relevant positioning, that is, which line of treatment would be plausible. And depending on positioning, what magnitude of benefit would be needed to support the target price. Of course, that kind of information is necessary for an investor to understand the potential and risk to pursue a lengthy and costly clinical trial program.
Those are very exciting initiatives. I'm wondering if you can offer any examples of where the information informed the clinical development.
Absolutely. One example where early phase modeling actually resulted in several spin-off studies concerns an ultra-orphan drug where we were supporting the company at the time of the phase two clinical study. Since the condition is extremely rare, we needed to partly rely on a proxy condition to inform the model. In addition, we used the endpoints from the phase two clinical trial, together with published literature and quality of life data for some key functional hallmarks of the condition. The output from the early phase model in that case provided information on the relation of clinical effectiveness and target pricing, feasibility of treating patients at a later stage of the disease, and impact on different parameters on cost effectiveness. As a result, the company initiated several studies to gather evidence identified as crucial to support future HTA processes in parallel to their ongoing clinical trial program. That way, the company will have all the data needed to enter reimbursement processes once regulatory approval is in place, and hopefully avoid commercial failure and patient delay, or even patients ultimately not gaining access to this important treatment.
Thank you very much for joining me today, Annabelle. That was very interesting, and I'm sure provided invaluable insights into early phase modeling for our listeners. I hope that you take some valuable information from this episode as listeners and apply it in one way or another to your business. Please make sure you subscribe so that you can join us for future podcasts.